If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Good morning. You're listening to The Right Opinion on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. And this is your host, Ed Furtick, recently returned from a political hiatus and an unsuccessful bid for political office. But as Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, I'll be back. Okay, maybe that wasn't a great imitation of Arnold, but I did my best. Now, today our discussion will be about the Common Core curriculum. And we have two great guests with us today. State Senator Kathy Marchione was planning to be here, but due to obligations to her district, she instead sent her Chief of Staff, Joshua Fitzpatrick. Good morning, Joshua. Okay, and I think I'll give you more microphone. Try that again.
Good morning, Ed. Welcome back.
Okay. Well, and we also have another guest that I'll talk about in a minute. But Joshua is influential in his own right. He does a lot of writing, and he's been published all over New York in various publications. Our next guest is a newly minted political activist, and I guess you could say the Common Core created you. She's a mother of seven children, so she's evidently expert in the area of child rearing. I don't want to be that expert. I'll pass on that way to accomplish expertise. She's a Dutchess County resident and an anti-Common Core activist. So, let's get going. First of all, I want to say that the opinions expressed here are mine or my guests, and in no way reflect the opinion of WGXC management. So, and I also want to say I'm thrilled to be back here. I've been away from radio far too long, and I'm feeling real good with the mic in front of me right now. So, it just so happens that as I was coming to the studio today, folks, oh, by the way, welcome photographer Lois Dysard, who is here taking pictures, and I appreciate you coming, Lois.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm on my way to the studio, and lo and behold, the Times Union has a front page article about Common Core. So let me start the ball rolling here by reading a little bit from this. It's an article by Rick Carlin. Riding the rage of public on test, populist uprising against mandates lures lawmakers. Since the end of the legislative session in June, state lawmakers were all but invisible at the Capitol and low-key in their districts. But that's changing as a growing number of legislators gear up for January's new session by launching onto an issue they can run with, the braided controversies over the new Common Core curriculum for students and the tests that come with them. From Buffalo to the Capital Region to Long Island, Democrats and Republicans have joined forums on the topic, some including embattled State Education Commissioner John King. responding to complaints by teachers' unions that the new curriculum was implemented too quickly, and from parents who worry their kids are being overtested, lawmakers are aligning themselves with groups issuing increasingly loud calls to delay or even halt some of the tests, including those that count towards a new mandated evaluation system for teachers. Now, the article is much longer than this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There is another little paragraph in here that I'd like to quote. One of the assemblywomen said that parents grew especially upset after learning in August that about 70% of students had failed some of the new tests. That's a big number. And teachers said they hadn't had time to prepare their kids for these tests. Okay, so that's the article from the Times Union. By the way, you guys are going to start talking a lot very soon. Don't despair. I think I called... Did I call her by the wrong name?
I don't think you mean.
I had a note passed. I didn't mention your name? That's so inappropriate. Our second guest is Ann Miller-Laval, correct?
Ann Laval is fine.
Ann Laval. Okay. I'll say that again. Ann Laval. I apologize.
Not at all.
For that. So, so the article's out of the way, but I hope you got a feel for what Common Core is all about. Now, I was prepped a little bit for this show by someone whose name I can't mention because I've been sworn to secrecy, because this person works for actually a company that benefits from Common Core implementation, sort of a combination of a lobbyist and implementer. And she had a lot of positive things to say about it. Now, I'm gonna go over some of the positive claims that I've heard for Common Core. One, it represents a tighter set of smarter standards focused on developing critical learning skills instead of mastering fragmented bits of knowledge. And that's something that people like about it, if they like it. Secondly, it requires a more progressive, and of course I get jumpy when I hear the word progressive, I mean, because I think progressive is regressive, but that's just me. It requires more progressive, student-centered teaching with strong elements of collaborative and reflective learning. Implication being our current system, the kids aren't reflective enough, okay? And thirdly, it equalizes the playing field for students by raising expectations for all children. Okay, the people that are for Common Core are saying these kinds of things. And one of the things that I found out in my conversation with my secret prepper is that, for example, when I went to school a hell of a long time ago, don't laugh, Lois. No laughing, you two. You're a puppy. When I studied English, and Common Core is about English and math, and not much else, because English and math form the core of what we need to learn anything. I think that's true. But when I would study English, the teacher would say, read Ivanhoe, read Great Expectations, read this, read that. I can't say I was thrilled with all those books. But now in Common Core, what they want the kids to do is half of those books should be nonfiction. So the English teacher, in the process of teaching you English, might say, read this book on aviation, read this book on religion, read this book on psychology. So half of what you read has to be nonfiction, if you're following Common Core. That sounds pretty good to me. And I'm being a little of a devil's advocate here today, folks. Don't throw anything at me. Okay, now to problems. The Common Core is presented as far as I can tell, as state standards that the states could develop voluntarily. Everyone's shaking their head at me here. But they're really national standards. They were designed and named to circumvent federal law that placed restrictions on the adoption of a national curriculum. In other words, there were laws in place that didn't allow you to have a national curriculum. So the way Common Core was set up was to circumvent those laws. Okay, that's one of the things that people who don't like Common Core say. Secondly, many states felt coerced into adopting Common Core by requirements to get Race to the Top grants. In other words, if you don't have to adopt Common Core, but if you don't, you're not going to get Race to the Top grants, and or Child Left Behind waivers. So a lot of, it sounds voluntary, but below the surface, there seems to be a lot of coercion going on. And many of the people who were responsible for writing Common Core have ties to testing companies that can profit from implementation. And there haven't been any test runs in real schools. Now, forgive me, but no test runs? Why am I thinking about the incredible catastrophe of monumental proportions called Obamacare? No testing? I mean, 45 states involved in this, and there hasn't been any testing? Okay. All right. Now to the guests who've been sitting there patiently saying, when is this guy going to shut up? All right, Joshua. How does Senator Marchione feel about Common Core? And, you know, what have been her actions in regard to Common Core? What has she been doing?
Sure. Well, actually, Senator Marchione has been going throughout the, can you hear me?
Yeah.
The 43rd Senate District will be listening tours. I believe we've held, senators held one, but I've been listening tours so far.
Yeah, go on.
And I believe that every listening tour except two individuals have stood up and expressed real concerns that they have about Common Core. I think a lot of those concerns fall under, is it cookie cutter education? Is it treating all students the same, not recognizing that all students learn differently, all students are unique? Concerns about data sharing between states and the federal government?
Concern about something I think that you alluded to, where is this kind of a federalization of education? You know, the federal government provides about 8 to 9 cents of every education dollar that we use in education. And is this kind of a federalization attempt for education when you're only paying about 8 to 9 cents of the freight on each dollar spent? Also concerns about focusing on teaching to the test, over-testing students, making sure there's enough materials available for students. These are the real concerns that the senator's been hearing at her listening tours, and frankly, people have been posting on her Facebook page and emailing to her in the Senate.
Are there other people in the Senate that share her attitudes? Is she alone on this?
No, she's not alone. I think a lot of the senators are right now in the listening phase, and that's what Senator Marchione is doing. She's hearing from all the relevant stakeholders. She wants to hear from teachers, parents, and also, frankly, from students and taxpayers to make sure that she's getting all the feedback necessary on Common Core. She wants to hear from everybody. As you started out the show listing the pros and the cons, the senator wants to make sure that she's getting the information from the constituents about Common Core. And I would say the vast majority of opinions expressed have been anti-Common Core, to be frank.
So she was on this tour recently, and that was something she was focusing on?
It was one of the issues brought up in the listening tour. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was in Rensselaer County, and a young lady stood up in the audience. She said that she was a registered Democrat. And just so you know, for all of our listening tours, when we mail out to invite people, it's not done by partisanship. We don't know who's getting the mail. We just know it's going to voters. The young lady stood up and said she was a registered Democrat and a teacher, and she strongly opposed Common Core for a lot of the reasons I articulated in terms of cookie-cutter education. Those are her words. Not recognizing that students learn individually and uniquely. And I can tell you from a personal perspective, 10 years as a college professor, I know for a fact that every student learns differently.
Mm-hmm. By the way, does Senator Marchione have children?
Yes, she does.
Okay. So Anne, you want to chime in on this?
I do.
Go on.
I think the biggest concern, which hasn't been mentioned yet, and it goes to the point that you gentlemen are both making, this discussion, this listening tour. Race to the Top funds were created and offered to the states in 2009. Common Core was developed in 2010. And here we are in November of 2013 having listening tours. This is a wholesale federal takeover of our national education system, and it was done without an ounce of public or legislative discourse.
Well, okay, to speak to that point, Joshua, Common Core, they say, is voluntary by the states. So, and you're a legislative guy. How did it happen? How did it get adopted in New York? And let me just add to this. Maybe you can address this. I mean, New York State is a big state. It's bigger than some countries. We have pretty sophisticated education institutions in New York. We have some pretty talented educators in New York and some pretty smart parents. So, I mean, why wouldn't New York State have done something this smart and this progressive on its own? You can address
sure.
that.
Well, as Ann talked about, a lot of the Race to the Top funding came with some strings attached. I think it's very rare that funding is going to come from any level of government without some strings. So that's the first point to remember. When that funding came and New York State started looking at changing its standards, to my mind, I don't think there was a single legislative hearing. There is a hearing going on today, and there have been some hearings. Senator John Flanagan is chair of the Education Committee in the Senate. But in terms of the kind of due diligence so the public would have its full input, I think, as you talked about, you're just now seeing about 2 months ago SED having hearings in different pockets of the state. And in one case, I think a hearing was canceled at the last minute. That's a real concern because you want to make sure that every citizen has an opportunity to be heard, especially the teachers, the school administrators, the staff, the people who are responsible. And also, I think you want to get some feedback from the students as well where possible.
Is either one of you, is there any polling data that you know of that that reflects how people across the nation, how parents across the nation, and students feel about this? I'm personally not aware of anything. I mean, do we know for a fact that most people are for this or against it?
I'm not aware of any. I can only share with you anecdotal information that I'm aware of in terms of individuals who've contacted Senator Marchione's office, posted on her Facebook page with their concerns. In terms of empirical data, I don't have any.
If I may, it's because there is no empirical data.
That's a good answer.
The fact of the matter is the Federal Department of Education went directly to the governors and the state commissioners of education to offer them the Race to the Top funding at a time in 2009, 2010 when the states were strapped for cash. In fact, they offered them the money before the standards were written. They said, if you want this money, you need to build this tremendous database called the State Longitudinal Data System, and you need to commit to adopt these standards when they're written. They wanted the money, they signed on the dotted line, and we're only now finding out what the conditions, the incredibly binding broad conditions are that are attached to this. And there is no empirical evidence. You went through a great article of introduction of claims that the proponents make and feel they appreciate about the program, and then a list of concerns. But the fact of the matter is, they're just claims. There's no evidence at all to support the idea that this is rigorous, that it will prepare children for college and career readiness, that it does foster critical thinking. They're nothing but claims. And the way we're finding out about this is children are coming home and parents are seeing what their children are doing, and they're getting concerned, and they're approaching principals and boards of education and teachers and saying, what is this that you're teaching my children? And the response they're getting is, we were told to do this.
But look, even even if the objection to Common Core is the nationalization aspect of it, you know, that aspect of it that makes us feel like Big Brother is dictating to every kid in America what they need to learn. Putting that aside, I mean, the actual educational aspects of Common Core may not be bad. My concerns from that vantage point are, first of all, why does a child in Butte, Montana have to get exactly the same education as a child in Albany, New York? Even if it's a good education, why does it have to be exactly the same? I mean, the fact that it's not the same doesn't mean it's not good. And, yeah, the Common Core advocates can argue that, well, this optimizes every child's ability to maximize, you know, their potential, but there's no empirical evidence to prove that that's true. And I think diversity is good. Also, there are young people that they may want to do good in school and they may enjoy their subjects, but they just don't aspire to, you know, maybe they want to be heavy equipment operators. Maybe they want to do other things that we need in our country that don't require you to go through this period of your life where you're under such pressure to meet certain standards, and especially math. I mean, math is troubling to some people, and I'd like all American kids to be better in math. Don't get me wrong, but again, I think that the 50 states, most of them anyway, have the capability to deal with those issues on their own. I don't like the idea of a centralized government, you know, dictating it. But let's talk a little bit about the states that have not gone along with Common Core. And I'll let you answer this, because I'm still quite not sure how Common Core was accepted in New York from a process standpoint. But there are states that have not accepted it, like Texas, I think, mm-hmm. is one. I know some listeners are going, oh, yeah, Texas, well, you know. But there are other states, too. And I is North Carolina one of them?
I believe it's Virginia, Nebraska, Texas. I want to say Alabama, but I'm okay. Not sure. I'm guessing.
So what is it about those states? Are they just braver than New York? Or, you know, why do they feel they can do without? I'm just curious if you have an opinion on that.
Well, my opinion would be that the citizens from those states have been very active and mobilized at the grassroots level, sharing their concerns. I know there's a major lawsuit going on in Tennessee as we speak with concerns over the Second Amendment and its inclusion in the Common Core curriculum as one of the learning aspects of it. So I know that there's a lawsuit going on there, and I think the opposition is very mobilized. As I said, a lot of the input Senator Marchione's office has received, and if anyone out there has any input they want to share about Common Core, I encourage them to email the senator at marchione@nysenate.gov. That's marchione@nysenate.gov. You can also find Senator Kathleen Marchione on Facebook, where she's very active. The bulk of the opinion, the feedback we've received, as I mentioned, has been very critical of Common Core. When you have a woman standing up saying she's a registered Democrat and a lifelong teacher and she strongly opposes Common Core. We also had another meeting, this one actually right here in Columbia County, where a retired social, this was in Germantown, a retired social studies instructor lifelong said he's glad he was out of teaching because he wouldn't have to want to teach the Common Core standards. That's the kind of feedback we've been receiving, and we want as much feedback as possible.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that secret person that that prepped me for the show, she had a said that one of the reservations is are American teachers in general up to these new standards themselves as far as being able to teach it.
Being able to teach it seems to presume that it actually meets the criteria that it claims of rigor and college and career readiness, and that it's actually difficult standards. But one of the real reasons they can't teach it is because the standards were created and the assessments were created by testing companies, but not educators, before the curriculum was written. So we don't even know what they're trying to accomplish with these assessments. We couldn't see them before they took them. We haven't seen them after they've taken them. We're getting feedback from our children, who were the only ones who saw them.
Okay, now, I think, Joshua, you mentioned the Constitution a while ago. What did you say, the tenth Amendment? You felt it was a violation of the 10th Amendment or the 4th Amendment? Or you didn't say that?
Didn't say that.
Okay.
Can I just chime in quick on that? There, when the U.S. Department of Education was created, there was a statutory law that stated parents are the primary educators of their children, and that the education departments, the local, the state, the federal education departments exist to support parental role in education. And Common Core turns that completely on its head. Parents have no voice until now, except through the legislators. We should have a voice directly in education, and it's been muted. And now this has turned it completely upside down. It's starting at the federal level, and it's feeding down and down to our children, and parents have been completely removed from the process.
Now, there is data mining involved, and if a state voluntarily adopts Common Core, then the data mining is mandatory. In other words, you don't have to adopt Common Core, but if you do, then the data mining isn't optional. And I understand that there's a collection of over 400 points of data on children who are within the Common Core program, and that certain corporations will be able to use that data for their own commercial gain. And also, is it secure?
Right.
Again, back to healthcare.gov, where we find that all this stuff you're plugging in, if you're lucky enough to get through, do you want your 8-year-old, your 8-year-old's information in the system that isn't secure? Now, Catherine Leneau mentioned you to me, Anne. Catherine Leneau is one of the leaders, or is she president of the Hudson Valley Americans for Freedom?
Founder.
Okay. Thank you, Lois. And she actually mentioned you to me. Lois, you mentioned her. And she felt that Common Core was a violation of the 4th and 10th Amendments of the Constitution. Do either one of you have any comment on that? Agree? Don't know? Disagree?
They've circumvented the FERPA laws and the HIPAA laws. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak to what specific, aspects of the 10th and the 4th Amendment, but there were laws in place to protect our children and our family, and it's not just our children's information, it's our family information, their religious affiliation, our political affiliation, now our health information, because the schools are the schools are doing health health evaluations. All of this information is being shared across state lines with the federal government, and again without knowledge of the parents, without consent of the parents. So these laws were changed behind our backs, and it's a huge concern. Why does the federal government need to know if my child has a behavior problem, a learning problem? What will they do with that information?
Well, let me read the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. It says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So I guess there are some that feel that in this era, papers is data, and if your data is being mined and you don't know what's happening with it, you don't know who's mining it, that is a violation here. But, you know, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. And the 10th Amendment says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So I guess some people who feel it's a violation of the 10th Amendment feel that states' rights are being stepped on.
Usurped, sure.
Usurped.
There's a strong tradition in America, certainly in New York State, of local control, local input over education, over educational decisions. That's why, Ed, we have school boards. That's why we have school superintendents. That's why we have local elections. That's why we want to make sure that parents and taxpayers have their voices heard. You know, Senator Marchione wants every student to receive a world-class education without question, but she also believes very strongly in local control over educational decisions. And Ed, you said it best. What a child learns in New York State may not necessarily be what a child needs to learn in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, what's good about having all American children alike in what they learn? I mean, first of all, what if they're learning something that isn't really that good? You know, the mistakes are made, even by the federal government. I know that's hard to believe, folks. But so for you listeners out there, federal government does on occasion make a mistake.
Can I speak to the fact that these standards were written or developed by two private trade organizations, and that's how they went around the law that prohibited the federal government from making national standards. These trade organizations, they are the National Governors Association and the Council for Chief State School Officers. They're basically lobby groups. They've copyrighted these. They cannot be changed except by the power of two lobby groups who received substantial funding from political and financial interests. That's who's dictating the education of basically every child in the country. And if I may, with regard to the level of the standards and whether or not, you know, okay, if this is all good because the standards are so great, the fact of the matter is there were a handful of education and standard specialists on the validation committee. And two of the most highly regarded and qualified experts are Dr. Sandra Stotsky, who is the ELA specialist who wrote the standards for Massachusetts, which brought Massachusetts to number one educationally in the country, and Dr. James Milgram, who was the only PhD mathematician on the validation committee. Both refused to sign the validation statement because they had such concerns about the level and the structure of the standards. So they're, you know, it's not as though if we could get past all of these backdoor and control type concerns, at the end of the day we have something good. It doesn't seem that way at all.
Okay. Now, we are going to go to a short musical break, if you don't mind. And here comes Chelsea Cavanaugh, who opened up the musical aspect of the Columbia County Fair recently. This is from her Simply album. Chelsea Cavanaugh, 17 years old, from Latham, new country western sensation.
He's off the cottage while I'm on my way to Tennessee. I never could imagine the day I'd just let him leave. But sometimes it's easier to say goodbye. I've got his words on a repeat in the back of my head. A broken record of all the meaningless things he said. Turns out I love you is the simplest lie. And I turn around and he ain't there. Sometimes it just don't seem fair. Why'd it have to be this way? And all I can say is I don't wanna fight this anymore. I don't wanna feel the way I felt before. Cause I don't wanna love you anymore. Well, there are no memories worth saving of a carefree days. And there are no can erase, 'cause there are nights I always remember. Your smile was my saving grace. As fiercely as I fell, I'm just as fearful to fall, knowing you were.
Product, Chelsea Cavanaugh.
Now I'm back to where we were on our last night. It's just that this time you are nowhere in sight. And for the first time it feels like I made you. Knowing you weren't there through it all, so
that was Chelsea Cavanaugh, 17-year-old Chelsea Cavanaugh from Latham, and what a great job she did at the Columbia County Fair. Met her and her dad, and seems like she has a great supportive family. Okay, I want to get into some announcements now. Is that okay, folks? Announcements are always good. First of all, Catherine Lanoue, she emailed me before the show and said, be sure to mention, because it's appropriate to the show, for those of you who are opposed to Common Core, there is a Common Core protest on November 18th at the Board of Education in Albany. The time is 11 a.m. and the location is 89 Washington Avenue. One more time, if you want to protest Common Core, November 18th at the Board of Education in Albany, time 11 a.m., location 89 Washington Avenue. And thank you, Catherine Lanoue of the Hudson Valley Americans for Freedom, for that tidbit. Okay, now on November 27th, my next show, we have a very special guest, the one and only Frank Serpico will be coming back for part two of Conversations with Frank Serpico. You can't miss this, folks, because I can tell you, Frank, I mean, we're planning to talk about the future of Columbia County, economic development of Columbia County, but with Frank, it could start going places. But we're going to try. So that's part two of Conversations with Frank Serpico on November 27th. Now, when we're done here today, you folks stay tuned because Tyson is coming up with Zoom at 11 a.m. All right, that's Tyson with Zoom at 11 a.m. Better listen, folks. All right, so back to this discussion. Let's see, where are we? Ann, tell us how you became an activist overnight because this Common Core stuff irritated you so much. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what is it actually that you do as an anti-Common Core activist? And especially since you have seven children, how on earth do you even have time to do it? So you can address those issues and, you know, what can listeners who are against it do? Well, sure. You go on and then there'll be further addendums to their question. I'm like a member of the press corps, you know, I add addendums onto questions, you know, just one question becomes eight.
Sure.
I was not familiar at all with the Common Core. Like you said, I'm a...
When weren't you familiar with it?
Up until last spring.
Okay.
I'm a mother of seven children. My kids had always done well in school. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I was not looking for a cause. My daughter came home. My children range in age from 24 to 11. My now ninth grader was in the eighth grade last year and took the first of the Common Core standardized assessments. She came home and said, you know, and she's very bright. She's the 99th percentile. She's at the top of her class. She's a great student. She said, I had to write an essay with an opinion that wasn't my own. I asked her what she was referring to. She said, there was an assignment on the exam to explain in detail why a structured workday of 8 hours of work, 8 hours of rest, and 8 hours of recreation is best not only for the individual, but for society at large. They weren't supposed to pick a side. They were supposed to use a stated text. It happened to be a speech by Samuel Gompers, who's an early union organizer, and they were simply to validate that statement.
So it was a sort of like a progressive topic imposed on your child, which upset you.
The alleged standard was that they should be able to draw the compelling arguments of a stated text. But it wasn't presented as an opinion for them to consider. They were basically instructed to validate that statement. I was very unsettled by that. A captive audience of every 13-year-old in New York State was to write this very controversial topic, and they were supposed to pick one side of it.
So that's what got you going.
Right.
Now, can I? And by the way, you don't have to answer this next question. You can decline. But prior to the whole Common Core thing, were your political inclinations on the left, the middle, the right?
I tend to be. I suppose I'm. Relatively conservative in terms of certain social things. I think the family is under attack, and I think that that's having tremendous impact. I think our freedoms are under attack. That's having tremendous impact. You know, I'm not a hardcore right-liner per se, but that's where my concerns tend.
Joshua, do you feel that this issue is an issue only to the right, or is it an issue to everyone?
I think it's an issue more to everyone. I saw yesterday that the New York State PTA had put out a statement looking for, I think, a one-year delay on the implementation of any further Common Core standards and testing. That came out late yesterday afternoon. I saw something from NYSET's website where the president of NYSET was saying that there were real concerns from NYSET, maybe not necessarily with the underpinnings of Common Core and the rationale for it, but the implementation was not well done. It was poorly executed. It's being rushed through, and that's coming from NYSET. So I think there are, if you would, you know, characterize that on the ideological, political left of the spectrum, there are concerns coming from that as well.
Okay, if Senator Marchione was here, and again, we're talking to Joshua Fitzpatrick,
yes,
who is a writer, author, and chief of staff for State Senator Marchione. Sounds like a nice, important job, Joshua.
She's a terrific person to work for. She's a person of conviction and courage, and you can count on her to do what's right.
Well, she is one of my favorites, I could tell you that. And by the way, tell her to come here sometime.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I want her to be back. And you mentioned to me outside that she would love to come on the show in person in
yes.
the future when she can make it. Now, Josh, what do you think she would say to the listeners if she had a minute, like a final minute? What do you think the senator would say to listeners if she had a final minute about?
I think that she has. She's heard concerns, and she herself has real concerns mm-hmm. about Common Core. And as much as humanly possible, the senator wants to receive the feedback from the constituents of the 43rd mm-hmm. Senate District. And they can go on Facebook, find Senator Kathleen Marchione. The senator, as they'll see, is incredibly active on Facebook, continually posting on there. And also they can email her directly at marchione@nysenate.gov. That's marchione@nysenate.gov.
And by the way, The Right Opinion is on Facebook. If you check out The Right Opinion on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter, Eddie F. on Radio. There's a number of ways you can reach me. Now, let's move off Common Core for a little while and get into some fun stuff. And Joshua, I'll let you speak for yourself here. You know, you don't have to represent the senator if you don't want to on this particular question. Let's speculate a little bit on who the Republican candidate for governor might be. You want to talk about that, Joshua?
Well, that's a good question. I know that Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin's name has been mentioned, that there was an effort, I think a very successful money bomb on his behalf. I know that the Westchester County executive's name has been talked about, Mr. Astorino, and there could be some other possible individuals. I know that Assemblyman Bill Nojay had talked about trying to recruit Donald Trump into the race. So there have been some names bandied about, just like you. I just report on what I've seen on social media and on the regular media.
Yeah, I know Palladino's name is out there.
Yes.
As well. I'm not so sure I'm thrilled about that, even though I'm a conservative. But that's another topic. Do you feel that Senator Marchione has a good network of support in the Senate for her agenda, for the conservative agenda, or is she fighting a battle for a conservative agenda with alone or with just a few other people? What's your sense of?
Well, I think
she is a conservative. Is it okay that I refer to her as a conservative?
Well, sure. I mean, I think her agenda is focused on the people of the 43rd Senate District, putting taxpayers first. Mm-hmm. When she ran for office, I know that she had talked about and has continued to practice being some you can count on, Kathy. And I think if you look at the SAFE Act, on her very first full legislative day, she voted no against the unconstitutional SAFE Act. Not only did she vote no, but she had the courage and, quite frankly, the guts to stand up and speak out against it. And I think people, maybe they forget, this is back when the governor was incredibly popular, and this was her first full legislative day that she had the courage to stand up and lead and be counted when it mattered. And that's why when they say you can count on Kathy, she means it.
Yeah, well, sounds impressive. Now, Ann, what do you do professionally?
I'm an accountant.
You have to be an accountant to know how many children you have.
Yes, I do sometimes count them on my fingers.
So you're an accountant. Are you a CPA? Or?
I'm not a CPA. I took the CPA exam, but by the time I took it, I had already spent a great deal of time in private accounting service. So public accounting requires auditing and traveling, and by the time I kind of got to that point, I was already well into the children thing.
Okay, I just got a message wondering if there's time to talk to two teachers. Are they on the phone?
Yeah, we're getting them on the phone.
So I'll give it to one of the guests, I guess.
Yeah, here. Let me make sure he's on there.
All right. We are obviously taking a phone call here, so... We'll get there. A couple of technical difficulties in the studio. Are we good? Okay, I think we're ready to go here.
If you would like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Okay, so do we have a caller? Hello, caller?
If you would like to make a call, please hang up and try
again.
No,
we do not have a caller on the line.
And then dial your operator.
Sorry about that. No caller. All right.
If you would like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
We're giving it a try here in the studio. So bear with us, listeners. Sorry about that, folks. We're trying to get a caller on the phone, and it's not working out that well just yet. And we only have about 5 minutes to go here. All right. Well, we're going to go out with another song by Chelsea Cavanaugh, who, as I said, opened up the musical aspect of the Columbia County Fair. So here we go with Chelsea Cavanaugh. I want to remind everyone to listen to the next show with Frank Serpico. And thank you to our guests. You did a great job. You're both really good on radio. Ann and Joshua, thanks. I want you to both come back. When the senator comes, come with her, please.
Will do.
And Ann, thank you. I know you came a long way. So this is Ed Furtick signing off. Listen to Zoom, which is coming up, and here comes Chelsea Cavanaugh.
Starts to burn.